of knowing. Crow!
All right, man. Welcome to Crow 777 Radio. This is hour one of episode 596. Jason Lindgren is with me and Dr. Diana Drake. We're basically going to be talking about what used to be, I am told, the biggest organ in the body, the skin. Anyhow, welcome, Jason.
And a hot and humid good morning.
Yep. I'm waiting for fall to set in. It keeps peeking its nose out, but then we're back to hot and humid. But let's get on with the show here. Welcome, Dr. Diana Drake.
Hello, you guys. Thank you so much for having me back.
How would you like for me to refer to you on the air?
You can call me Diana. Thanks for asking, Crow.
Okay. You want to quickly tell folks where they can find you and your work online, offer anything out you'd like in public? This is hour one.
Yes, absolutely. So I am a board certified traditional naturopath. I do specialize in skin, hormone, and thyroid conditions. So if anyone wants to work with me on your individual health, you can find me at dmdnaturalmedicine.com. As far as my brand, Dr. Dale Wellness and Skin Naturopathics, which I will be discussing, all of that is available on drdalewellness.com, and you can get your discount using the code CROW or going through the link on Crow's website.
Okay, I'm going to look real quick. We have on the sponsored page a link out to you, do we not?
Yes, and I believe it's 15% off using the CROW code.
So go to the sponsor page on the website. It's in the top right corner, and use the code CROW to get a 15% discount.
Yes.
Okay. So where would you like to start?
Sure. So I just want to go over a quick legal disclaimer. So all of the information and protocols that I am providing are for education purposes only and are not intended to take the place of medical advice. So what I'm discussing today is based on my clinical experience in my own practice, as well as the studying and research of these issues. All of my studies and practicing are what led me to design a line of supplements for skin because there was no brand that was running complete protocols for the multiple root causes of every skin issue. So my line, Skin Naturopathics, is again available on Dr. Dale Wellness. And I really created this to allow people to run a full protocol from start to finish on most skin conditions. So today I will be going over anti-aging, chronic skin infections and wounds that won't heal, acne in males and females, eczema, psoriasis, rosacea, perioral dermatitis, cuticle infections, herpes and shingles, first aid, poisonous spider bites, and folliculitis on the scalp. So I really feel there is something in here for everyone because at some point in our lives, we are going to deal with one of these things. And I think it's important to know how we can go about this in a natural fashion and just be empowered to know what's going on with our skin.
Okay, so before we jump in here on anti-aging, why don't you bring everyone up to date? Before we came on the air, I had been told all my life the skin was the biggest organ. So I asked Diana and she told me, no, they're saying something else is now the biggest organ.
Yeah, they are now recognizing that our interstitium, which is responsible for our interstitial fluid, is our biggest organ. So that's kind of the tissue sitting below the skin that provides it with lymphatic fluid. And it also goes around our gut and some other areas. So it is now being considered the biggest organ. But for the most part, that leads to the elimination through the skin. So it's okay if we kind of still view our skin as the biggest organ, in my opinion. But yeah, that's the newest scientific data around that.
So do you agree with that statement? Or does it sound to you like we're just splitting hairs and basically the skin is still the biggest organ?
I would say I have to agree because from a perspective of how much space it takes up, there is more interstitium than skin, but I do think it's a little synonymous.
All righty, let's jump in with anti-aging.
Okay, perfect. I did want to let you guys know, for the most part, there are a lot of things you can take care of on your own, but I did want to just let you know there are certain scenarios where you absolutely need to seek medical advice and see a dermatologist. One of those is cradle cap. That is an infection on the scalp that leads to severe hair loss. So if something's happening on your scalp that's creating hair loss and seems infected, that you do need to see a dermatologist about. Also, if you have a mole, please get it checked. Please get a proper diagnosis. We need to know if that's skin cancer or not. And if you ever have any sort of deep ingrown hair that seems like it's getting severely infected, that needs to be professionally extracted and taken out. So I just want to be clear that I'm pro seeing Western medicine for some things.
What do you mean by an ingrown hair? Like on your scalp or like for men on their face or anywhere on the body?
It could be anywhere. They can happen a lot in the pubic area. Sometimes when they're actually growing in and you can't get it out, it can lead to a severe red bump that can start getting pustule, and that needs to be professionally extracted, like cut open and removed. So that is something you would want to see a dermatologist about for sure if you have.
All righty. Anti-aging.
Yes, anti-aging, something we're all concerned about. So what causes aging? We're really looking at oxidative stress here. This is both internal and external. And this simply means that the body has too many free radicals and not enough antioxidants to neutralize them. Some interesting symptoms of oxidative stress, besides just the wrinkles on your face, are actually fatigue, memory loss or brain fog, muscle and joint pain, gray hair, decreased eyesight, headaches, sensitivity to noise. And then again, we have spots and pigmentation on the skin. I also think exposure to radiation and EMFs are a severe cause of oxidative stress. So topical skincare is great, but we also really want to take vitamin C internally at a high dose. So vitamin C is a natural tyrosinase inhibitor. This is the enzyme that triggers the expression of the pigment in the melanocytes on the skin. So topically in Western medicine, or just if you're seeing any sort of skincare specialist, they might prescribe something called hydroquinone. This is a topical that stops the melanocyte from expressing. So if you have dark pigmentation, a lot of women experience this in the form of melasma or maybe after you're pregnant, and they will use this hydroquinone topically, but this is actually really toxic and can cause liver damage. You can get the same effect by using vitamin C because vitamin C is a tyrosinase inhibitor. So if you do it internally, you want to get to a nice high dose around 10,000 milligrams a day, and then also be using something topically as well with vitamin C. So when we're talking about darkening pigmentation on the skin, think vitamin C, topical and internal. As far as the collagen matrix, I want you to think of collagen in your skin as bricks. Okay. So the bricks are the collagen, and the mortar that's holding it together is actually vitamin C. So in order to sustain that collagen matrix, we need both collagen and vitamin C. So when they are taken together, this can really improve your skin, your joints, bone, nails, hair, etc., and again, lighten that pigmentation on the skin. Another thing that we have recently recognized is that silica really helps with the absorption of collagen. So I've created a product, and you can get it. It's branded both ways. You can get it on Skin Naturopathics or Dr. Dale, called BioAge Reverse. And this has all three of the ingredients in a high dose. So you're getting the liposomal vitamin C, you're getting your silica, and you're also getting collagen. So three scoops of that a day should really help with pigmentation and any sort of wrinkles. And it'll really help not just on your face, but your entire body. And then topically, I have a really great vitamin C and glutathione serum. You won't really find this combination in many skincare products because of the cost, but this combination really makes it a slam dunk topically for anti-aging. There's no filler, it's non-toxic, there's no scent at all. You just use it under a moisturizer, and you can use that a couple times a day. Let's jump into an ideal diet for anti-aging. It's really important that you eliminate processed sugar. That's because eating sugar causes something called glycation, which is the breakdown of collagen in the skin. So the more you eat sugar, the more you're breaking down your body's collagen. You want to increase the antioxidants. So if you are drinking caffeine, it's better to get it from green tea. And then from a food perspective, berries, fruits, vegetables, nuts, and whole grains versus all the processed things are going to be better.
To be specific, is it just the white processed sugar or other kinds of sugar? And then there's also stuff like corn syrup and high fructose corn syrup, and it's just in everything anymore.
So those are going to be the bad ones, right? So the white sugar, the corn syrup. I would say the natural sweeteners are going to be a little better, honey, maple syrup, things like that. But the corn syrup and the white sugar are definitely the worst for glycation, for sure.
What about sugar in the raw, like the brown sugar that has a little more of the natural, I think it's molasses in it?
That's what I was going to ask.
That's going to be better. I still think generally eating a separate sugar supposedly really creates that glycation. So unless you're actually eating sugar cane raw, like actually living sugar cane, I don't know if it has the same negative effects as processed sugar, probably not as much, but I would tend to think that if you're just sweetening something with sugar, even if it's sugar in the raw, it's probably not ideal.
One thing I've noticed about sugar in the raw is it's nowhere near as sweet as white sugar. As a matter of fact, it's been so long since I've eaten white sugar. If you just dip your finger in a tiny bit into it's so sweet. It's almost too sweet to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get away from it, you'd be, it's like salt, you know, but I noticed that the brown is nowhere near as sweet.
Yeah. So probably better to use the organic for sure. And like what you're saying, you won't be using as much and it won't be as sweet. So definitely less effect on the body. I personally really try to stay from adding any sort of sugar into my diet. It's just a rule for me. But if you are going to do it, it's better to get the sugar in the raw for sure.
How do you feel about honey as a replacement?
I feel like honey is great, especially if it's Manuka. I do know that honey is still higher on the glycemic index. So anyone with any sort of insulin resistance, which honestly is most of us, the maple syrup is supposed to be much better for our blood sugar levels.
There's a huge problem with sugar. I just saw like another thing about Dunkin' Donuts, pumpkin something or another that just came out, and the obscene amount of sugar that they showed that's in these things. Like this is something that's just so prevalent in Western society now. All the sugary Starbucks drinks, just all of this stuff. It just seems like it's yet another thing they're hitting us with to hurt us.
It's absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I just want people to start thinking that this is affecting my aging process. You know, it's not something that we would typically consider for aging, but I want people to start thinking that way, that sugar affects your collagen production and how your collagen matrix is functioning in the body.
It's a bit of a soft kill if you walk into a store now and look at how many things have processed sugar. But back to the honey, I've been using honey for years as a replacement for sugar, but I was using processed honey at first, so it's runny. And I learned over time to go to the solidified honey that hasn't been processed in any way.
Right.
It's supposed to be the best you can do. And you've got to get it from a place that's good because you don't want to get it from a chemical ridden field.
Yes, absolutely. I just stopped using it altogether. I'll maybe do a Manuka once in a while, but I'm kind of just trying to take out all the separate sweeteners. Another good thing to decrease is fried foods. So these inflammatory oils like the canola, the rapeseed, soybean, vegetable oil, any seed oils, these turn incredibly inflammatory and are heavily oxidizing in the system. So that's really something you want to stay away from if you're concerned with aging. Also interesting, there is a huge rewriting happening on the internet right now trying to spin these oils as safe and beneficial. I don't know if you guys have noticed that.
Well, that figures.
Where they're trying to say canola oil, it's high in omega-3s and it's heart healthy and all this stuff. And this is just not true. We do not need to be consuming these oils. We have the highest rate of heart disease and we're the number one consumers of canola oil. All the countries in Europe, Japan, all these places that don't use these oils are much lower on heart disease. So,
and that's another one that they put in everything in our food over here.
Absolutely.
You got to be careful for those people who love olive oil. Start reading the label. You'd be surprised how many of the olive oils are actually mostly canola or something else. By the way, Diana, I've been seeing other doctors saying exactly what you are. They're down on vegetable oil. They're down on almost all the oils. But I wanted to ask you, how do you feel about coconut oil?
I think coconut oil is great because it's a whole food. The problem with these seed oils is they're extracting it. Some of them will say it's a cold extraction process. We're just not meant to be consuming the oil of these seeds. We're just not. It's different when you're eating coconut and the meat of coconut or even an avocado. I think that's a little bit safer. But generally, it's just not native that we're eating these extracted seed oils. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You know, I use coconut every day. Coconut, it's called coconut oil, but it's solid at room temp. And the reason I use it every day is for my Shiba Inu dog, because I cook him fresh food every day. And what I do is I use scant amounts to cook if I'm, you know, something like chicken or whatever I'm making, if it has to be cooked and it can't be raw. But I take half a teaspoon of the solidified and I put it on the side of his bowl so he can eat it if he wants or not. And to me, that's a benchmark. Like the nature in a dog is true. There's no lie in it. If they go for it regularly, you know, there's a reason for that. And I know I'm just mentioning this, but a lot of people out there have dogs and a lot of people cook their food. You really don't want to use the oils that Diana just put out for your pets.
For your own cooking, though, we have a sponsor called the Vintage Olive. That's really good stuff. Crow and I both use it, and we always have a couple of bottles of that around to cook with. She has a couple varieties of olive oils, plus a few other things.
And even cooking with olive oil, because the smoke point is low, I do think it is probably better to use the coconut. Crow, doesn't it have a higher smoke point?
Yeah, that's where you're getting into the trap that you were talking about. That's how people end up going to peanut oils and other things because the smoke point is so high. If you're going to cook with olive oil, you've got to keep the temperature low, super low. As a matter of fact, like if you make spaghetti sauce and you use olive oil in it, you don't want it to go above a boil because if it does it for a period of time, you ruin your oil. But it's good you mentioned that. I think that's how people get fooled into using a lot of these other oils because of the smoke point.
Yeah, absolutely. I think also there are just too many omega sixes and nines in the system, and this really contributes to insulin resistance. So over time, you know, every cell in our body has a lining or a barrier that has both fat and water. Okay. And if the wrong oil is in there, it's going to start to harden the cell over time. And when that happens, insulin cannot get in and out. And this insulin resistance, we could probably do a whole show on it, but this is a serious problem with America today. And I am telling you, this is because of seed oils. This is one of the main contributors is the seed oil thing. Every packaged snack is going to have some sort of seed oil in it, whether it's a soy lecithin or a sunflower emulsion, something. So really just eliminating those packaged snacks and things because you don't realize it, but you're getting it every single day. Once in a while is okay. It's fine. The body can handle that. But the problem is the constant insult every day, meal in, meal out. It's just too much.
I think about all those fast food places. You know, they have a fryer in there. How often do they even change it? It's not good when it's fresh to start with. But some of these places people go to, almost every single thing you order has been through the fryer.
Yeah, absolutely. And as far as anti-aging women, we usually have an esthetician that we see, or we might go to even the dermatologist or some sort of laser clinic. And a lot of times they will prescribe retinol for us. Just really use this with caution and moderation because this will thin the skin over time. There are also a lot of peels and laser treatments that resurface the skin, and these can be very successful. Just again, moderation with this kind of stuff. We really want to make the skin stronger and support the barrier rather than break it down so much. So that's why the C, the collagen, the silica internally, topically, making sure you're getting the C is going to make it stronger and build it up. So just be wary of doing too many things that are going to thin your skin.
What about these? I think they were popular in the early 2000s. Some of the women in my family were all about these chemical peels. But when they did it, it looked like they'd fallen asleep in the sun for way too long. And I was thinking to myself, that can't be good for you. How do you feel about the so-called chemical peel that was so popular not too long ago?
I think a very light one once in a while is okay. But a lot of these, like you're saying, I mean, they literally burn off your skin. So the idea behind it is now we're forcing the skin to make new skin, right? So you're going to get rid of wrinkles and all the pigmentation at the top and new skin will come up. But if you're not addressing the internal issue of the oxidative stress, it's just going to go back to where it was eventually. Your skin only has so much resources to be able to keep building new skin over and over and over.
In the scope of your outline here, are we going to touch on sunblocking products? So many of them so ridden with heavy metals and other things.
We can touch on that now. I personally don't use sunblock. Okay. So my theory is that I will expose my body to the amount of sun that I can take without crossing the line. However, I'm Spanish and Italian. I can take a little more. Some people don't have a choice. You work in the sun, whatever. The best way to prevent sun exposure is with clothing, not sunblock. So if you're in a scenario where you're going to be on the beach all day, you need to have a hat. You need to have a long sleeve shirt. Maybe even you have to have, they have the new like SPF gloves. If you have to be actually exposed to the sun, please don't use, I don't want to name brands, but all those, the spray sunscreens and all the crap that they're selling at Walgreens, that has been linked to cause skin cancer. The avobenzone and all those synthetic sunscreens, they're terrible for your body. They're terrible that you're getting in the ocean and lakes with this stuff on, by the way, for the marine biolife. So if you're going to use it, it needs to be zinc based and preferably in an organic base. So if you see zinc on there, you want it to be in a coconut oil or in some other natural oil. You don't want to see that it's zinc based, but then it also has parabens and other things. So you want it to be non-toxic from both the sunscreen standpoint and just what the actual lotion itself is made of.
I'm of a mind that a lot of the illness in this country anyhow is people not getting enough sunlight, but so many people comment about the sun right now. They used to remember it was more yellow. To most people, it seems more pale. But this is what I've noticed. When I go out in the sun, and I'm part Greek, so I'm like you, I can take a lot of sun. And I've been burnt a lot of times in my life, and I don't have skin cancer or anything, but I think a lot of it's genetic. Like a redhead person with a lot of freckles, probably not taking the amount of sun I can take.
Right.
My point is, when I go out now, the sun feels very, very direct on my skin compared to how I used to remember it feeling. But what I notice is before, if I felt, oh, I'm getting too much sun, I'm already burnt. That was before. What I notice now is, oh, wow, that's really starting to feel direct on my skin, but I'm not burnt yet. So it's a weird dichotomy what I'm describing. To me, it feels like on my skin, the sun now feels more direct, but it takes longer to burn me.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Another thing too is the amount of seed oils in your system will affect your sensitivity to sunlight. So the more you have, the faster you'll burn. And that's another play on that oxidation piece. So as long as you know you're going to be in the sun when summer comes around and you know you're going to be out there, take more antioxidants internally. This will help with the amount that you can take of sun.
We've been told our whole lives, oh, don't go out in the sun, put on sunblock. If you get burnt, you're going to have skin cancer. What I, having talked to so many medical people, some of them curing things that I didn't even know could be cured, what I think is true is just because you get burnt doesn't mean you're going to have cancer, even if you do it a lot. I think more of it depends on your genetics, you know, what your family line is. What do you think is true?
So I agree, right? So genes are the gun, but the epigenetics piece is the exposure. That's the bullet, right? So hypothetically speaking, in my opinion, if someone were of a fairer skin type genetically, if they were to take more antioxidants, they could probably take more sun exposure and be less prone to skin cancer. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a big deal.
That's what I think. I think that nobody has enough antioxidants. I think we are all severely starving for antioxidants.
I think sunlight, we're starving too. I think most of us just don't get nearly the sun we need. But I've noticed over the last couple of years, the big push in advertising to get you on FPS 160. And I'm guessing the higher the FPS, probably more bad things in it.
Most likely. Yeah. Good points.
All right. Next on the hit list.
Okay. Severe chronic infections on the skin and body. Again, there is really only one scenario that I personally would recommend or take an antibiotic, and that is for cradle cap. But you can typically run a holistic antibacterial protocol for most things. When we're looking at limb infections of the feet and calves, diabetic foot ulcers, bed sores in the elderly, I have literally seen a bed sore so big that you could put your fist inside of it. So there are these chronic ulcers that are not healing. And really the root cause of this is oxygen deprivation to the tissue and toxic blood. This is why antibiotics do not help. The tissues need oxygen to live. We know this. And our oxygen comes via blood. So if you can flood the body with oxygen, you're going to get benefits. It's naturally antimicrobial without damaging the native microbiome. You're going to alkalize the tissues, the lymphatic fluid, and the blood. You're going to support boosted energy levels in the cell. And you'll also support the body's immune process. So that's the removal of toxins and dead tissue. It also enhances the uptake of the vitamins, minerals, amino acids, proteins, and nutrients to the tissue from both food and any supplement sources that you're taking. So you can really help the blood and tissue eliminate toxic waste and poisons. So when we say toxins, we're talking about poison. So the oxygen can really support recovery from injury, stress, and exercise. And it's also great for any sort of respiratory wellness, especially when we're dealing with lung infection as well. And it can help balance elevated blood pressure. So when we're talking about wounds, if you were to look at my blood right now under a dark field microscope, all of the platelets are coagulated together. So they look like they're stuck together. Okay. When we can oxygenate our tissue, the oxygen will uncoagulate the blood. So the blood platelets, instead of being sticky and clumped together, they will actually branch out and separate. And when we do that, they can actually get into the tiny little capillaries and then they can get oxygen to the cell. So when we do this, this actually raises the voltage of your red blood cells because they're charged and oxygenated and now in single formation to fit everywhere that they need to go. So when we're looking at these chronic wounds that won't heal and people go to urgent care and they take antibiotics, it's not really a bacterial issue that we're dealing with here. It's an oxygen issue. So making sure you are oxygenating internally and externally. I want to pause for a minute, Crow. is it appropriate here that I talk about our oxygen blood support formula? So we offer our oxygen blood support. You would just take 20 drops 3 times a day in 16 ounces of salted mineralized water. It's really important that it is salted and mineralized for it to get into the cell. You can also make a topical mix with it, which is great. So you can apply it and soak it on the area with a cotton ball, or you can spray it on. This can really help bring the tissue back if it can be. And any dead tissue, which is called necrotic tissue, needs to be removed by a wound care specialist. This is called wound debriding. Another great thing is raw natokinase. This helps with healthy blood viscosity, and any sort of blood purifier is great, like something that has burdock in it. We have something called whole body immune, but any sort of blood purifier that you can take internally is really, really good for these wounds. So if you have a chronic wound that's not healing, it's important to get to wound care and get a tissue allograft applied so that it can kind of literally plug up that hole. But the problem with that is 75% of the time, these wounds will return. So it's important that we make sure that we're getting the tissues oxygenated to help that heal properly and help it from returning.
My first job out of high school was in a nursing home when I first saw my first bed sore. And I know exactly what you're talking about. Holes in people's like hips that you could fit your fist in. And that was in a nursing home. And at the time, they used to put, I don't know, something like iodine, benzidine, something like that around it. And they put a lamp. That's how they tried to cure it, put a lamp on it. And so few of them cured. But have you heard of the Recoweg products, Diana?
Yes, because of you. Yes.
Well, I want to offer to you that R23 and R21, if I remember correctly, R23 is eczema and R21 is a bit broader. I think it's skin and blood diseases, but I'll put a link in the comments here for you, because I have a table that shows them all. You might be interested to check those out.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Okay, do you want to jump on to acne in males? Next point. Really important for people to understand that if your child, or if you're young and listening to this, if you have acne, this is actually not normal. Okay, this is really a severe imbalance that's going on. And it's really important that we test for excess androgens in the system. If you go get a test, just a regular hormone test at your doctor, they are not going to pull androstenedione. They will pull testosterone, estrogen, progesterone, and not in men, they'll just probably pull your testosterone and they'll likely tell you that it's in balance because the testosterone won't be elevated. It's the androstenedione that we need to check. And the best way to do that is with saliva or urine. If the androstenedione is elevated in males, we also need to look at insulin resistance. So this looks like A1C skewing high and insulin skewing low. So they might still be in range. But if we have this scenario of the high androgens and then the insulin resistance, this is known as metabolic syndrome X in males. And it's really important that we know that they have this early on. So if you have a teen with acne, please get these things checked out. Okay. These excess androgens cause elevated sebum or oil production in the follicle. And then the bacteria come to eat the trash and it forms a blemish. But really, if your child is insulin resistant at this age, we need to know this now. So the acne is kind of that fire alarm saying something's wrong, something's wrong. Please get this checked properly, because if you go to the derm or the doctor, they're just going to give you Accutane or an antibiotic. And that is not at all looking at the root cause here, because that insulin resistance is something that your child's going to deal with their entire life. So if we find that there is insulin resistance, it's really important, number one, that we detox. Okay. So we make a great detox. It's called Derma Detox, but you can use any sort of broad spectrum detox that's hitting the kidney, the colon, the liver, and something that's really going after the lymphatics. Really important that we bring in something to heal the gut. I love using a spore-forming probiotic because it has a protective endosphere around the organism that protects it from changes with pH and heat. So when they are bottling probiotics, then they get shipped, then they get stored, then they go down your throat. It's going through so many changes. And really, they anticipate that only about 15% of a probiotic will arrive alive in the gut unless it is spore-forming. So few companies are actually making spore-forming probiotics. Microbiome Labs is one of them. That's an incredible brand. We make something called Skin Biome that's coming out that'll have a probiotic enzyme and a gut barrier function support all in one. But the take home here is if you're going to use a probiotic, please make sure that it is spore forming. I don't think I've ever seen one on the shelf at a grocery store. doesn't matter if it's on the shelf or if it's on the fridge, it needs to stay spore forming. So just be sure that you're checking for that. And then the big thing here is going to be balancing the blood sugars. So avoiding processed food or any inorganic meat and dairy. Berberine Pro is a really good thing to balance blood sugar and prevent insulin resistance. Myo-inositol is fabulous. And then if there is a scenario, and I've barely seen any, where a child or an adult male with acne does not have elevated androgens, then they just need to detox and heal the gut. But literally 99 out of 100 times, I'm finding this syndrome X in males. Also important with acne that we want to eliminate food sensitivities. And I like topically to use a structured silver gel. Going into the females, so the female syndrome X or elevated androgens with the insulin resistance is called PCOS. I touched on this a little bit in the last show. We talked about it and I'm going to go deeper now. So PCOS stands for polycystic ovarian syndrome. This is again, the elevated androgens and the insulin resistance. So on females with acne, please do not take your daughter in and just put her on birth control or let her take Accutane, because now the root cause, which is really the insulin resistance, is not being addressed. And this is a huge problem, especially if she wants to ever have a baby someday. So we want to look at, again, with saliva or urine, the elevated androgens. And if those are present, I always assume the insulin resistance. But if you want to look at it again, it's going to be lower skewing insulin with higher skewing A1C. So signs of PCOS in women include the acne, dark facial hair, again, the insulin resistance, really bad PMS symptoms, horrible, painful periods, really heavy periods, or it might be the opposite. You might not be cycling often enough. And they may or may not have cysts on the ovaries. So this is a really common misdiagnosis where doctors are telling women you don't have PCOS because you don't have cysts on the ovaries. This is not correct. Every woman with PCOS has one thing in common, and that's the elevated androstenedione. So again, birth control is not the answer. The protocol for PCOS is going to be really cleaning up the body of toxic waste. You can use any sort of full body detoxification formula that you have or are familiar with. We make something called Derma Detox. Also iodine. This is really, I want you guys to start thinking of iodine as a glandular system detoxification element. And it's also food for your thyroid. So if you want to detox the glandular system, we need iodine. We also make a product called Hormonal Breakouts that has all the things to address the insulin resistance and the elevated androgens so that you can get it all in one supplement. However, you can also source this yourself. Things like berberine, inositol, really good herbs that are going to push down androgens are white peony. Mushrooms are really great. So there's all kinds of good things that you can put together for a protocol for PCOS in females.
Can you define acne? Most people just think it means pimples on the face, but how would you define acne if someone was going to recognize in how you've described it?
Absolutely. So that would be a blemish that becomes red and turns pustule, maybe. It could also be a really deep cyst. So you might feel the bump on your skin and it's under there and it's a little bit red, but it's never coming to a head because it's so deep.
Anywhere on your back, on your leg, on your fist.
Yeah, it's mostly going to be on the back and the face. But yeah, that's how I would define acne.
What about like blackheads? Is that acne?
I would not consider that acne. That would be pore congestion, which I am going to cover next because I know people are really curious about that. But with the PCOS in the females and males, it's really important that we get them on good, healthy fats to help with that insulin resistance because of that cellular permeation issue, which I talked about, the insulin getting in and out. The FDA actually just cleared glucose monitors to become an over-the-counter item, which is incredible. This means that you won't need a doctor to get a glucose monitor. So right now, we could go on Amazon and buy a little finger prick glucose monitor, but the constant glucose monitor that you wear on your arm is going to constantly be checking your glucose all day. That is phenomenal. If you suspect that you have insulin resistance or you know that you do, you have PCOS, syndrome X, whatever, really, I recommend getting a glucose monitor because this is going to help you specifically figure out your blood sugar levels and what things are triggering your blood sugar, what times of day, what supplements are working. So it's not quite rolled out yet, but as soon as it is able to actually be purchased over the counter, I'm very excited so I can offer that to people. That's something I really highly recommend. And because this is a syndrome, right? So syndrome X, PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome, This means it's going to constantly be needing to be managed, right? So as long as a female is cycling and her blood sugars are unbalanced, we are going to try to have to push those down with supplements. So this isn't something where you get to take it for a little bit and it's fixed, unfortunately. These are things that have to be managed lifelong. And then in a female, if the androgens are not elevated, again, we just need to look at detoxification, food sensitivities, and healing the gut. Food sensitivity testing, there are so many great companies that offer this. We offer it. You can get it online. Everlywell does a test. I mean, you could literally Google it and 50 options will come up. So it's really easy to test for food sensitivities. So if you are male or female with acne and you confirm that it's not coming from elevated androstenedione levels or insulin resistance, then it's really, really important that you remove the foods that you're sensitive to. And I have found that the more food sensitivities that come up on a test, that just shows that the gut is more out of balance. So typically, if you do a really good protocol for 90 days, you remove the foods that are showing up as negative and you really rebuild the gut with probiotics and something that helps support the structure of the gut. So things like aloe vera are great, charcoal, any sort of mucilaginous herbs, and then also bringing in good enzymes. Then if you retest food sensitivities in 90 days, the more the gut heals, the less food sensitivities you'll have. So that's the goal, is to really get to a place where you're not having as many food sensitivities on those tests. And that will tell you that your gut is healing. Now, if you have an actual allergy like gluten, that'll never come off. And it's really important. I can't tell you how many people are gluten sensitive and are still eating gluten. So if that comes up, you guys, please take it out, especially I talked about this on the last show, all of our gluten, it's not even real wheat, but I suspect that our gluten sensitivities are more to do with the fact that we're eating trash and not real wheat with US flour versus the fact that you're actually allergic to wheat. So it's important to find out if you're actually allergic to wheat or if you are just gluten sensitive, because in that case, I would just get rid of the US, any domestic flour. And then I would go on like the wild grain sourdough bread or something like that, where it's a safer wheat product.
Do people overseas complain about this? I guess Europe would be the good example, but do they seem to have this issue?
No, they don't, because they have real wheat.
Semolina, isn't that the indicator?
Correct.
If you read a product and it says semolina, I hope I'm getting this right. You're going to have to either tell me I'm right or I'm wrong. I think if you read on the label semolina, you're not getting crap US wheat.
Correct. So that would be legitimate, real. That's a strain of wheat. So if it's semolina or it says organic wheat, you should probably be okay. Now, if you're actually allergic to the wheat protein gluten, which is only 3% of the population, then it doesn't matter. You can't eat it at all, even if you're in Europe. But most people will tell you they go to Europe and they are fine eating gluten versus here, where they're so sensitive to it and have such a horrible reaction.
Weaponized bread. Who could think of such a
thought?
Do you notice any correlation between constipation and acne?
Absolutely. Yeah. So if you have the elevated androstenedione levels, really healing the gut is important, but you have to go after lowering those and the insulin resistance. So in a way, you could be eating a perfect diet, right? And your gut could be moving and working perfectly. No constipation, it's working, it's moving, but you're still going to have acne because we're not addressing the right things. Does that make sense? However, yeah. If your acne is not coming from insulin resistance and elevated androstenedione, and it is coming from your gut, then yeah, if you're constipated, you're not taking the trash out. That is it's leaking out of your gut and it's going through the interstitium and out the skin. So it depends on where it's coming from. Obviously, healing the gut is always important. It's just the center of so many things. And if you're not taking out the trash, that's a huge problem. But with this insulin resistance stuff, that really is the core thing that has to be addressed.
Diana, do you know what Comedos is? C-O-M-E-D-O-S?
Comedones, maybe?
No, I copied it verbatim. The only reason I'm bringing it up is I did a quick lookup on the Recoweg. So R53 is the acne one. We're about to touch on eczema, which is R23. And R21 is skin and blood, but it's on the R53, it said acne and comedos. And I had no idea what that meant. I can look it up.
That might be a typo or something, because a comedone is a type of a pimple that's kind of more like pore congestion. So this is my next point, right? So this would be a blackhead, or it might be a little pore that if you squeeze it, like a white snake will come out of it, but it never really turns into an actual pimple or pustule blemish, right? So that's what we would call a comedone.
A white snake. You mean like pus that's stuck together?
Yeah, like it's just kind of hardened a little bit. So it's not like a full-on infection. It's building up in there, but there's not enough sebum to bring the bacteria to create an actual blemish. But that, if you can remove that and you always want to either wear gloves or use Q-tips, so blackheads or little whiteheads, and then if you hit it with salicylic acid, that'll really help shrink the pore and stop it from returning. So that's what I would do for pore congestion.
What does it indicate if you have acne and what comes out of it has a bad odor?
That's a really good question. I would just say the level of sebum would be more toxic with the more foul smelling it is. So remember, sebum is oil coming out of our follicle, right? So the more inflammatory oil that you have in your body from not omega-3s, but from the bad oils that we're talking about, it's just more rancid of an oil. That's going to create a more rancid blemish, literally.
All right. I think we're on to eczema.
Okay, beautiful. So let's talk about what is eczema. Like most things, this is an overburdened immune system. Okay. So that means that your immune system is so overburdened that it has to now push toxins out of the skin. So we're dealing with toxic blood, toxic lymphatics, and likely a leaky gut. It's literally too many poisons for the body to handle. It's really important with eczema that you test for food sensitivities. Again, you can easily do that online. You could do that with your doctor. And with anything else, when we are too toxic, toxemia, we need to what? Detox. So again, using any sort of full body detoxification system, we make Derma Detox, which is a full body detox. And you really need to detox until the skin is 90% clear. This might take 6 months on some people. People think, oh, I can run it for one round and done. No, you really have to hit it until the body is clear. So what we're doing when we're detoxing is we're opening up the proper elimination channels, right? So we're opening up the colon, we're opening up the kidney and the liver, and we're getting out that way so that the skin stops pushing it out that way. Really, you can also do a very heavy dose and kind of taper it off too. So on the first month, if you want to hit it really hard, and then you can kind of taper off your dose of the detox, that's fine too. But I just want to drive home that if you have eczema, you are toxic and it's not coming out the right channel, okay? The protocol with Skin Naturopathics is our Eczema Formula 1 and 2 Heat and HistaClear. These are just Chinese herbs that are designed to clear too much heat in the system and then deal with the itching that's uncomfortable. I also assume with every eczema case that there is a fungal overburden in the gut. So any sort of antifungal herb is great. Ours is called Rose Guard, but you can use any sort of broad spectrum antifungal. And it's also really important that you do a diet that removes those food sensitivities and follow it very well. I also love, there is a brand called Neogenesis, and they have a really beautiful topical barrier repair cream that has human stem cell media in it. And it's really, really good at repairing. Eczema can be so uncomfortable. It's open. It could be weeping. It could be peeling. I really like using their topical cream for any sort of like eczema or psoriasis scenario. And then psoriasis, the next point, is similar to eczema, but now we have an autoimmune element on top of it. So now we have the immune system kind of attacking at the skin, which makes it a little bit more uncomfortable. But it's going to really be the same protocol as eczema. Check for food sensitivities, detox, 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 repair the gut, clear candida, use that topical barrier repair cream, and just use that eczema heat and HistaClear. When you're done running that detox protocol, and your skin is feeling better, and I've said this before, and a lot of people have, it's really important that detox becomes maintenance for us, whether we have a skin condition or not. Every human body needs to be detoxing every spring and every fall. And some other great ways to detox are colonics, infrared sauna, the coffee enemas that we've talked about on the show. So detoxification needs to really become part of our daily lives if we want to be successful with preventing all the toxemia that we have to deal with in our society today.
So people who follow along know that my mother passed away not too long ago of Parkinson's and dementia. My mother had clear skin. She's Norwegian. I'm adopted, so she has a different family history than I do. She never had anything but fantastic skin. She never wore makeup. She didn't do any of those things. Well, in the last, I'd say about 8 months of her life, she developed what looked like a normal pimple right below her hairline on her forehead. And it kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger till it was about the size of a dime. And I realized, you know, the nurses came over and everything. And we said, okay, we're going to just drain it. So we did. I put on gloves and I squeezed it. And it was like you described, like a white snake came out. But it smelled like chemicals.
Mm.
And I never forgot that because she had dementia and it felt to me like all that toxicity that had built up in her brain was like trying to come out. But anyhow, I figured I would just mention that because so many people are dealing with dementia.
Yeah, absolutely. That's very interesting.
So we're getting very close to the close of hour one. What do you want to do about the next point?
So rosacea is going to be a little longer. So if you want to cut it, or if you guys have any more comments or questions before we cut it.
Well, I'll tell you what, I did a lookup on each of the things for the RecoWig. If you end up using those, I'd like to hear from you what you think about them.
Okay.
I even found one for herpes, the eczema. The main topics you just covered, I found an associated RecoWig. Have you ever used them?
I have not, but I would love to.
You can order them right off Amazon if that's your thing.
Yeah.
But there are other places you can get them. Actually, the customs agents for a while there were making it difficult, but that seems to have ceased, at least to some degree. But if you do employ those, I would love to hear about it. But Jason, you got anything before we wrap up hour one?
I get a little bit of psoriasis and so does my daughter. So I'd definitely like to look into that to see what's causing it.
Yeah. Detoxification, right? Step one, I would try the RecoWig like Crow is recommending, healing the gut. Those are the main things. Over time, it can clear. It really can.
The thing that's so great about the RecoWig is it's not very expensive and it's literally drops under your tongue. You're basically ingesting a vibration, I guess is how I like to describe it.
Homeopathic.
Yeah, the old school. The old ways are the best ways. Well, I'll tell you what, Diana, why don't you tell folks one more time where they can find you, mention the sponsorship page and the discount, and we'll take a break for hour one.
Absolutely, everyone. So my personal website to work with me as a practitioner is dmdnaturalmedicine.com. And then Dr. Dale Wellness, you can get the 15% off by using the code CROW. That's with two R's, or you can get there through Crow's website.
If you go to the sponsor page, find the image. The discount code is CROROW. If anything ever happens, just fire off an email. We're always here to help. Rose is like there almost 24/7 these days. But thank you for the hour one, Dr. Diana. And we are going to take a break, a short break. We're going to come back for hour two. Hour one is free to everybody at crow777radio.com. That is CROW777radio.com. Members know to log in for the full episode. Members get access to all the forums, threads, and comments. They can create all those as well. They can stream the two-hour film called Shoot the Moon anytime they like. That covers all my older telescope work on the moon, lunar waves, and the discovery, the initial discovery of the second sun, which I have now located again. And members get exclusive access to my current solar telescope work. By the way, I just upgraded the system again. I've put in complete filtration and a Barlowing system, which will allow me to get 200% closer on any given object. With that, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back for hour two in just a couple minutes. And I'd like to wish you all a happy, healthy, and higher-minded new era. I hope to see you logged in for hour two. There it is, man. Cheers.
the enemy of knowing. Trump.